The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Every time Jeremy Roenick visits the Fan 590, it's like Christmas, which in fact makes him better than Santa Claus, because that fat bastard only visits once a year.
Hey.
Come sit on Santa Roenick's knee. Okay, that sounded wrong. Jeremy Roenick is in studio with Andrew Crystal on Toronto Sports Radio, the Fan 590.
Jeremy Roenick in the house with yours truly, Andrew Crystal, Andrew Crystal in the morning. It is 12 degrees going up to a balmy 13.
I don't want to sit on Santa's knee.
No?
No, I'm mad at him. He screwed up my whole day yesterday.
Because you were stuck in the parade?
Yeah, the parade just absolutely ruined my day.
I couldn't get home.
I've never seen a city so paralyzed.
I couldn't get home because of Santa.
Paralyzed city. And I do have to say, you know, I love cops. I love police because they protect us. But they just did not help me yesterday. Some did.
You were stuck in Santa Claus parade.
That's
so bizarre.
One fantastic cop, which I thank him very, very much.
Extricated
for his service and for his ability to get me out of a very, very detrimental mental situation.
You got out, and we were pleased you're here. I had to park my car. I couldn't get home. Now, what I wanted to do, two things. I wanted to catch a bit of the Santa Claus parade from my window.
Yeah.
Live downtown. And I was really looking forward to speaking to Jim Barker this morning.
Mm-hmm.
This is the coach, and there's one thing that I come away from, because there's two big stories that we're on today. The Leafs we'll talk about in a second. A heroic loss to the Habs, 2-0, because that's what we're into now, noble losses. How they lose, not whether they win. And Coach Barker, because I close my eyes, never mind 48-17 Argos losing the Eastern Final to Montreal. I close my eyes and I see Coach Barker, who is one of the best interviews that you can get in sports, arms folded, frown on his face, not a happy camper, a determined, good football man with a rough day. Coach Barker, brave enough to join us now. Thank you, sir.
Oh, how are you?
Well, Jim,
it was a tough day.
It was.
And it's one of those things that it's nice you have Jeremy on there because I know he's been in the playoffs and only one team finishes a season with that good feeling.
Yep.
And we weren't that one this year. We're not at that point yet.
Well, Coach, I always wanted to win my last game of the season. And unfortunately, I lost every single last game of the season. And it is a frustrating thing. I feel for you, but fantastic year, but geez, you just get, no matter how close you get, there's still that burning, just gut-wrenching feeling inside. I know exactly how it feels.
Yeah.
Jim, a lot of people won't come on after a tough loss like that, and I appreciate you, Mr. Barker, doing that.
Well, it is what it was. I mean, we're not at the level where we deserve to go to the Grey Cup right now. And it gave us a great indicator of what the things we have to do to get this organization so that we're like where Montreal is right now. They've been to the Grey Cup the last three or six of the last 7 years or whatever it is. That's where we need to get this organization. And we're not there yet. So it's part of what we have to go through in our growing process. So it's the sun's up today, and we're here at the office and pounding away, getting ready for next year.
All right, so 11 passes, 2 interceptions, I think, 169 yards. You throw Dalton Bell in there for the fourth, half the fourth. He throws a touchdown to Copeland. What do we do about Cleo Lemon? Is this your quarterback for next season?
I'm not going to talk about any of that. Those are things that will happen in the off season, and we'll make those decisions. This is not the time to discuss personnel and personnel moves we're going to do. We have an off season to attack these things, and that's what we'll do.
Okay.
Sorry.
Let's talk about your... No, why? I ask the questions, you answer them. That's fine. Dalton Bell, let's talk about your thinking moving him in when you did.
I felt like I wanted to get Dalton some experience in that environment, you know, when you're playing in front of 57,000 and it's hard to hear, and I just wanted to get him that experience, and that was the whole reason behind it. I mean, at that point, we had the game was out of hand and we weren't going to win the game, and I felt like it was important to get him in that situation.
Did you have a drink last night?
A couple.
Where'd you go?
Actually, we flew home, and my lovely Hilda and I went over to Montana's, and nobody was there, and it was
Montana's.
It was very quiet and peaceful out here in Oakville.
Good for you. Montana's in Oakville. So we got to bring you in, though, Jim. I mean, congratulations, though. You made it to the Eastern Final, and you came up short. As you know, anything can happen in the CFL. I hated seeing Double Blue lose with so many points scored against them, but, you know, that's the way it runs. That's the way it goes.
That's exactly. It's part of what we have to go through as an organization, and you know, I've been in this league long enough to understand the way things work, and you can either, you know, you can either hide behind it and make excuses, or you can deal with where we're at.
All right, but
and
Jim,
this is where we're at.
Jim Barker, you've got a quarterback that you faced that makes any defense look bad, though. Like, let's, you know, give your D a break, right?
Well, no, I don't give him a break because I expect them to do a better job. But Anthony, I coached him in 2002, and we won a Grey Cup, and he's a much better quarterback now than he was then. And he's 38 years old and still getting it done. And when you have a guy like that, you know, you're gonna have success. And that's but there's not many like him in the league.
Jim Barker, we look forward to a new Argonaut season. Congratulations on getting this far with the team. And we look forward to your off-season moves.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, I love a coach to come on and talk after a tough loss. My respect and congratulations. Great year. Look forward to watching next year. I do.
Thanks,
watch
Jim,
Canadian football.
That.
Absolutely.
Good for you. Thank you, Jim Barker. Jim Barker, the coach.
That's tough.
And you know, Bob McCown always said to me, he said, you know, one of the best interviews that you're going to have is with Jim Barker. And he's a great guy. He's a great guy and a great interview.
He's a great guy. Great interview. I love his candidness.
Okay.
Love it.
We lose 48-17, Toronto, to the godless Als in Montreal. And again the night before to the Canadiens. Very, very good hockey game, though. Fun to watch. Some bonehead plays. As you heard earlier, Komisarek saying that he thought the play was okay. Roenick, JR in the shotgun seat this morning, saying that he's upset that players aren't pissed off at these losses.
Well, you know what? I heard Ron Wilson say last week in his post-game interview, to go in and start screaming and yelling at a bunch of young guys is going to defeat the purpose. You're gonna break them down. Well, you got to break them down. I mean, there's gonna be a time when, you know, these kids have got to become men and they got to become professionals. And if you continue to lose, and you continue to lose the same way, by not putting pucks in the net and losing close games, you got to get in that locker room and start yelling and screaming. And I know Ron Wilson can do it. I've seen him do it. I respect the fact that he doesn't want to go in there and mentally traumatize these kids. But don't you think that Toronto deserves it? Don't you think he deserves it? Brian Burke deserves it? I think the Toronto Maple Leaf fans deserve for him to go in that locker room and start kicking some young ass and start kicking some garbage cans around, throwing sticks, and breaking things up, and start yelling. You got to
tough it up. That's not Wilson, though. That's not Wilson. So what you're saying is Wilson's
okay,
not.
Okay, well.
He's not the coach, then.
Okay, well, then Ron Wilson will get fired. And I don't want to see Ron Wilson get fired because I like Ron Wilson. And you
but
know
you
what?
Know Wilson. You've worked with Wilson.
I do. And you know what? He's a proud person. And one thing, he better, Ron, I know you're listening. I hope you're listening. If you're going down, you better make sure that those kids know what's going on in that locker room. And you take your last shot and start kicking some ass in that locker room. Forget about hurting feelings. This is not about hurting feelings. Who cares if you hurt feelings? It's time to win hockey games, and I'm a firm believer in being very verbal when you need to be verbal, and I don't care if you're going to hurt feelings. I think it's time. They're losing too many games and not scoring goals.
It's 8:13. Let's focus on Ron Wilson. Jeremy Roenick joins us.
I think he's fantastic.
Don Cherry saying, and I agree with Don, that he was outraged. First of all, he wanted to see Kadri brought up sooner. And when Nazem Kadri, the young Leaf player, came up, he's played well. His stats are great. and with great stats, Jerry scratching his head saying, why is the coach coming on after Kadri plays a game and he's got great stats and saying he's got bad habits? He thought that that was a nasty dig publicly to a player who had quit himself well.
Well, does he want to lie? Does he want Ron Wilson to lie? If he's got bad habits, he's got bad habits. You got to teach him not to have bad habits. You know, unfortunately, we're in a man's world. We're in a man's world of professional sports. What are we protecting right now? Do you want kids to grow and you want kids to get thick skin? Do you think Mike Keenan cared when I was 18 years old about my feelings? No, this guy laid into me, grabbed me around my throat, almost strangled me. He didn't care about my feelings, but you know what? He toughened me up. He allowed me to have thick skin, because if I wanted to play in the National Hockey League and I wanted to be successful, I had to do it by the way the coach said it. You know, he has his rules. He is the one that's supposed to mold you. If he can't get in your face and yell at you and grab you and say, wake the up.
But should you be knocking a young player?
Why not?
As Cherry was saying.
He's a high draft pick, is he not?
Yeah.
Okay. He's not a talented kid, is he not?
He's talented.
Are you going to let him meander in making the mistakes that he continues to make? You make people accountable for what they do and the mistakes they make, period. You know what? Grow up. Have some thick skin. Listen, Ron Wilson didn't say that because he doesn't like
Kadri. What he should
be
telling is Komisarek to be more... Let's play that. Do we have that Komisarek clip?
We're not talking about Komisarek. We're talking about Kadri.
Hang on a second. We're talking about both. We're talking about Ron Wilson's approach to Kadri, which is to lean on him and say he's got bad habits when he's playing well. And Komisarek, Mr. Bonehead, listen to what he says after he puts Toronto in a position where it can't win. So now they're demotivated, so goals are not going to come for sure. This is Komisarek making it 2-0 Habs.
And Komisarek broke that up, a shutter pass, they score! Camilleri knew what would happen and jumped in front of the net. 2-0 Montreal.
You know, it's a tough play. Try to hit the guy in the middle and sort of pass him between both of our guys. You know, it's a right play, just got to execute a little bit better. So, nothing you can do about now.
So there's Komisarek. Not being angry, it wasn't the right play. And if anybody should be leaning on anybody, it should be Ron Wilson on Komisarek, publicly. JR?
I say start yelling.
Start screaming. Yeah, absolutely.
Start screaming.
You talk about nasty habits of Kadri. Ron Wilson's talking about nasty habits of Kadri. What about the
Kadri,
nasty habits of Komisarek?
Kadri can handle it.
Komisarek's making $6 million a year. $6 million.
Kadri can handle it.
Paying him Matt Sundin money. And
he's a great player. He can handle it.
Nothing is left on the field. Get it all online at fan590.com. Crystal Nation, awaken. Andrew Crystal in the morning on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
12 degrees right now on The Fan 590, 823. It's going to be a nice mild day for you. Jeremy Roenick sits in with me. And he will be joining me Thursday again.
It's too bad this weather wasn't here yesterday when all those people were freezing their asses off on University Avenue.
It's
watching a black Escalade drive down the road.
Stuck in the Santa Claus parade.
Freezing. I saw kids I couldn't even see their eyes. They were so bundled up, sitting there like, what the hell are we doing here? Santa Claus isn't worth this shit.
So, two things. Wow! That's almost Dickensian in its humbug rant. Okay, look, I got to say this. Sunday I spent, besides trying to get home, I was blockaded because Jeremy's stuck in the Santa Claus parade. I can't get home from Canadian Tire and
stuff. Why do they close every street?
But so I'm racing to watch the Argonauts get blown out. And before that, the Leafs lose 2-0. Was able to catch a 10 o'clock movie, though, so the Saturday night wasn't totally ruined. And it was a very entertaining hockey game.
It was a great hockey game.
But I've got to ask the folks, and we're going to play a little Ask JR in a bit, too. About 7:40, we'll play Ask JR. We can call JR.
I think the Leafs play entertaining hockey, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
They just can't win.
But we're into the era of noble losses. How well did they lose? And I've said that earlier in the broadcast this morning. I'm going to say it again to you right now. That's what we're looking at. How well did they lose? And as we kick back here this morning, I need you to call me at 416-870-0590.
We're taking fan calls?
We're taking calls.
Love it.
Here's the reason.
My favorite part of the show.
Well, we're going to do Ask JR in a bit, too.
No, just me in general.
But before we do Ask JR, I need to focus you. I need you to help me with this. I'm asking for your help this morning. What is wrong with professional sports in Toronto? Why are we losers? What the Raptors won three in a row. Great. They won on the weekend, beat the Celtics. Okay. But we have a problem in Toronto. Why are the sports gods mad at us? Very simple question. Why are the sports gods mad at us? We'll play Ask JR in a bit. But tell Jeremy Roenick, and yours truly, AK, why the sports gods frown upon TO. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or star 590 on your cell. What do you think?
I think the nightlife is too good here.
Is that what it is? Do you think that the fates are punishing us for...
You know what? I think the Canadian beer is too potent. They can't get over it the next day.
I think because we are the most successful city in the province and in the country.
It is. There is a lot of pressure here. There is no question. There is a lot of pressure here, and unfortunately, there are too many athletes today that don't like the pressure, can't handle the pressure, and fold under the pressure.
Oh, really?
I think
that that's a really interesting insight, and I believe that coming from you, nobody else, but I believe that coming from you as a player. So it's the kitchen's too hot.
It's very hot, and when you're in a media frenzied city like this, especially in the hockey atmosphere. The pressure is immense. There's a camera in your face. There is a pen in your face every single day that you are not on the ice. Always looking at you, always critiquing you, and forever being, being watched, whether you're in the public or whether you're not. There's a lot of pressure that you have to be in to play in a city like Toronto. Expectations are huge. And you know what? There's a lot of money going out there. A lot of money that you have to live up to. And if you're not putting the puck in the net, there's a lot of guys who are gonna fold. No question.
Folding under pressure, JR says it's just too hot in TO. Why are the sports gods, whether it's football, hockey, hoops, you name it, soccer, why are the sports gods frowning upon Toronto? Ryan in Stouffville.
I have to say, first off, because we didn't have JR on our team, you still make me cry every night, bud.
I tried.
That was a beauty goal. You were bottle knocking. But I think because Canada and Toronto is such a cold place, we're just all cold-blooded people producing a bunch of losers. But you want to know what? I think the Raptors are changing that because Chris Bosch left here because of the media coverage. And they're three in a row right now. So that's my explanation.
All right. Thanks for your call. I don't think that the Heat was the situation with Bosch.
Yeah, it was. He went to the Heat.
No, the media heat here. For once, he says that he wanted more attention, and that's one of the reasons why he left Toronto.
You think? Here's a guy who's going on his own campaign to get voted onto the All-Star game a couple years ago.
All right, let's roll out to Luke and to
you. Think he likes himself? What an idiot.
Are the sports gods frowning upon Toronto, and if so, why?
I don't believe it is a sports god. I believe that the Leafs fans get the team they deserve because we pay $80 for nosebleed seats, and we go shop at their stores, and we go eat at their restaurants, all owned by MLSC.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate that, Luke. So
it's actually
a lack of market pressure, market discipline, the fact that the fans will go out to support a loser, it doesn't matter what you put on the ice.
I think, you know, he raises a very good argument. I mean, here, the fans continue to go and pay very high prices for tickets that unfortunately is the sports age today with high salaries. But then it comes to who are you paying those high salaries to? You know, we were talking about a guy like Mike Komisarek making $6 million for doing what?
Well, even Phaneuf, and you can disagree with me, of course, that's what the show is about.
Phaneuf is
invisible out there. When he was playing, he's injured now, he was invisible. So you've got a D that's...
Hey, listen, Mike Komisarek is a very good hockey player.
Not $6 million.
He is a strong, solid in front of the net, physical, battler, defensive-style defenseman. I don't see defensive-style defensemen making $6 million. And this is where now the GMs have to be monitored. Like, we just went through a 2004 a lockout because salaries were too high. Well, if the players are asking for salaries, doesn't mean the GMs have to give it to them.
I don't
who's babysitting it. Who's babysitting who? This is the reason why we're in the financial situation that there is, because we're giving them these
and
money.
And what does it mean? You talked about $80 seats. real people, real hockey fans can't afford to go to the games. It's all corporate. And the worst thing about Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, one of the worst things, on the ice, they have this play to kids, they have this play to families and junior stuff.
I played.
It's all corporate stuff. But between periods, they play to the families, like this is a family game. It's not a family game, it's a corporate game. Families can't afford to go to the Air Canada Centre.
Listen, I made $9 million in my top 10 salary. In my opinion, was I worth $9 million? I don't think so. But if they're going to pay it to me, why not get it?
All right. For the first time ever in sports broadcasting, have we ever heard a player say, I wasn't worth the money? They paid it to me. I accepted it because that's the system I was in. So I took it, but I wasn't worth it.
Well, if you look at it. If you break it down, I was scoring 75, 80 points a year. Okay. A lot of my contract was based on my 50 goals, what I had done. But listen, if I'm going to ask for it and they're going to give it to me, I'm going to take it.
Good for you.
And anybody would take it.
God bless you.
But you know what? Unfortunately, it's that kind of mentality
why regular people can't go to see these games anymore because of the kind of money. It's all corporate.
It is corporate. But you know what? It'll turn around. It will. What? It will turn around.
All right.
I'm very optimistic.
I just think they're just going to be paying people more. Johnson in Markham. Why are the sports gods frowning upon Toronto?
Well, I honestly think it's because of Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. They just bring in the wrong people. They don't spend the money it takes and the time it takes to bring in the right people. Like, look at John Ferguson Jr. You've got to be kidding me. You know, that's the guy they put in charge of a hockey team in Canada.
And then Brian Burke gambling with Kessel and Phaneuf and a few other things.
I like the Kessel. Sorry, I like Kessel.
We gave too much up for it, though. Sorry.
I like Kessel. I'm a Bruins fan.
Okay, but he's a good player, but two. Yeah, you're a Bruins fan. You like the draft picks, right?
But where's Savard?
All right, well, right? listen. The guy that they got for Kessel, Sagan, in Boston, what did he get, his first goal the other day?
Okay, but there's two first-round draft picks and a second-round pick.
The first one is not doing squat right now.
All right. We gave up a lot. Sports gods frowning upon Toronto on all sports teams. Steve, why?
Well, when you have incompetent GMs, and I say that because when you spend more money on your defense than your forwards, you're in trouble. And it has been Toronto's MO for a long time to spend a lot of money on their defense. Phaneuf and Komisarek and... it's just ridiculous, and so it's not...
And it's a bad defense. It's a lousy D. Thank you, Steve. You're right. It's back-asswards. I want to go to one more call before Michael Eppel joins us with the money game. A hat of Mississauga. The sports gods are frowning upon Toronto. Why?
Not just
the Leafs, the Argonauts, TFC, you name it, even the Raptors. Okay, three-game winning streak aside, they stink. Why? What's going on?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Everybody keeps focusing on the Leafs, but the problem, I think, has to be with the city of Toronto. And the problem being that we don't mind the losers. You know, we love our winners. You know, it's great when the Leafs are winning or the Raptors are winning, but when they're losing, it's not quite the end of the world. We kind of tend to treat our athletes as kind of on a different plane, and I think that that whole culture kind of needs to change before we can really put in a championship mentality. I mean, look what happened with the Blue Jays in the early 90s. They were winning because the entire city was behind them.
Thank you, Ahat. I find that interesting. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, you know what? But I respect that. I respect the fact that fans come out to watch regardless, and there's really no bandwagon jumpers here, especially for the Leafs. And, I still see the basketball games have people coming in. The passion is great. That's one of the things
Toronto,
I love about Toronto.
The passion
I love
is
the
great,
people. I
but
love...
Toronto deserves better, and there's something wrong. There's something wrong with this city with so many losers. Mike Eppel joins us with the money game.
What's worse, though?
What?
Playing in front of empty seats or being booed?
Playing in front of empty seats is worse.
Is it?
Yep. Playing in
You'd
front of
rather
empty
have some
rather,
sort of fan interaction.
I would rather be booed, because if they're booing me, that means something is not right with me.
Hmm. And at least they care.
I got to get my ass going. Yeah. I would much rather be booed than play to empty seats, because that's total denial. Like, they don't want me anymore. At least if they're booing, they're showing me that they want something better. I'd much rather have that.
Cool. Retail numbers look good for this Christmas, Mike Eppel?
Well, we'll see on Friday. Are you ever done the big Thanksgiving?
What, with the American Black
Friday sales extravaganza day after you big price
no,
competitive
I'm tripped,
shopper?
I'm too tryptophan dead.
You don't line up at 10 o'clock the night before to
for those deals?
Storm the gates of Best Buy and
I want to get
whatever
the,
else.
Yeah, the garden gnomes.
Yeah.
I wait for hours for them
sure.
Every year.
Yeah.
Every year a new gnome.
The holiday Thanksgiving tradition for you, isn't it?
They freak me out too, the gnomes.
They're like clowns?
Yeah, they freak me out too.
We should get some garden clowns for
and mimes.
Yeah,
and mimes.
That's going to be very important to see what you know if Americans are spending. You know, do they have money to
I want,
spend?
You
are
know
they
what?
Going on credit? What are they doing?
I want to talk about sunset businesses. What's going on with newspapers?
Well, okay, here's another question for you.
Uh-huh.
Are you into the iPad or any of these tablet devices where you
iPad.
Would read everything on it?
I have an iPad.
Would
I
you?
Love it.
Would you read a newspaper on an iPad?
Actually, I would.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs and Rupert Murdoch, he of News Corp and Fox News, they're working on a daily newspaper specifically for the iPad.
The Economist has gone on iPad.
Yeah, so, you
my
know,
favorite
is the paperless society finally approaching? Because wasn't that the whole thing about the internet? We're going to not use paper anymore?
That's right. Cashless society and the
paperless society
go together.
And yet and all, we just have more and more paper in the newsroom every day.
There's no green, but a lot more electronics to pay for. Thanks so much. Jeremy Roenick is here with us. It'll be time to play Ask JR ahead on the broadcast. Thank you, Mike Eppel, with the money game.
Thanks, Mike.
Newspapers going paperless.
I think it's a good idea. My iPad is fantastic. I love it.
Now, Crystal Nation, awaken. Andrew Crystal in the morning on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
8:43. Keep going. Come on. Jeremy Roenick joins me. Andrew Crystal in the morning.
Your love is like bad medicine. Bad medicine is what I need.
There we go, JR. Good
like
Monday attitude.
Bad medicine. And then a doctor that can cure my disease.
See, that's what we need Mondays. Your little dose of JR there.
Except for that clonic doctor.
Oh, the Schwenker doctor?
The Schwenker doctor!
Yeah. Hey, if you haven't checked out the podcast, you may not want to, but it's I'm raising awareness for prostate cancer, so I had my exam on Friday live on the air, and it was a lot of fun.
God, absolutely.
It was
absolutely.
A blast.
Don't ever knock it till you
try it.
It
was a real bum blaster. Now, it's time to play. Do we have any music for this? I don't know if we do. I'm thinking about, I don't know, what's good music for you? What's good? Be creative, Max. We need some Ask JR music. It's time to play that fabulous game, Ask JR. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590.
Is this a dating game?
Jeremy Roenick, this bachelor, hails from Fresno, California. He loves long walks in the park and often adult diapers. Never met a blow-up doll he didn't like. He doesn't call them blow-up dolls. He calls them dates. Ladies and gentlemen, bachelor number 3, Jeremy Roenick.
Mm. What a fantastic way to enter.
There we go.
Let's take a call.
Little Tijuana Brass.
I want to talk to Strat.
Okay, Strat, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, boys?
It's time to play Ask JR. Go.
JR, when you got into acting there for a bit, I want to know your best story from TV or movie set.
Best story. I was doing the Ghost Whisperer, and love Jennifer Love Hewitt, and I was really excited to go meet her. So, you know, for me, you know, I'm a boob guy, love boobs, and she's got a great rack. So I was really excited to go see her and talk with her and stare at her, you know, her marvelous. So anyway, so we're doing.
Could boobs get too big for you?
No. No,
never. So,
no.
Would you say that breast reductions should be outlawed,
yes,
like legally?
Absolutely. Yes,
someone should be
Yes.
Find if they have a breast reduction.
I mean, I understand women that like to do it because they have back problems, but hey, you know.
You think that should be illegal, though? Say sorry.
I believe yes.
You have to carry the cannonballs.
So anyway, so we're filming the scene where the guy faints on the pitcher's mound, and I was the coach, and I had to run out to see what happened to this kid, and she was supposed to come in and kind of put some water on him to help him. Okay. Well, she came running in during the shot. And she literally said, she goes, come in, are you okay? Look at my boobs. Kind of like as a joke. So she's playing a joke on all of us in the, during the shot. Obviously, they had to cut it. But my mouth dropped right to the floor. I'm like, okay, I've been looking at him all day. I'll look at him again.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
But the fact that she referenced her boobs when I was referencing them the entire day.
It was positive. So she gave you permission to look, then.
Yes, she gave me permission to look, which I took full advantage of. And
well, why wouldn't you, right?
Oh, absolutely. But she's a spectacular
girl.
Do
you get
girl.
Caught looking at women's breasts?
Sure. Of course. I mean,
do they punish you? Do they give you a dirty look? Or do you say, well, why are you wearing a plunging neckline if you're going to do that?
I mean, I don't stare, but I have occasional...
It's a healthy...
Occasional glimpses.
All right.
I'm normal. I'm human.
Okay, let's go. Yeah. 8:47 right now. It's time to ask JR. Rock.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Rock, what's up?
JR, I'm interested to find out your thoughts on the whole PK Subban, Mike Richards thing.
Yeah, great question. Great question.
I'm just wondering, like... Do you think Richards was out of line? Do you think PK Subban is arrogant or coward or has too much swagger or anything? I'm wondering what you think. I'm just going to hang up. I want to listen to you guys talk about that.
Great. No, that's a very good point, because I was listening to this the other day and listening to the, you know, to all the experts talk about whether PJ Subban should open his mouth. And I definitely think that he should. I think when you're playing the game and you can get in someone's face and PJ Subban backs it up. The kid's a great, great hockey player. Really offensive. He's dynamic. He's fun to watch. He's energetic. He had a very successful year last year. Does he need to prove anything? He has to prove something his entire life. But that doesn't mean that he can't get into Mike Richards' face and just drive him crazy.
The fact that he's distracting Richards by his attitude.
I don't think he's a cocky arrogance. I think he's a team-oriented, confident kid who wants to compete, and he's going after the Flyers' best player, and I love that about Subban. He doesn't need to prove himself in order to do that.
What about showing respect? What does that mean?
You know what the respect
sounds like? A biker organization.
You know what the respect comes when you physically go after somebody and you hurt somebody, hit somebody from behind, do something when they're not ready, sucker punch somebody when they're not ready. That's the lack of respect.
But that's not what Subban's
the
about.
Fact that Subban looked Mike Richards right in the face and was in his face and then wanted to go and drop the gloves with him, what's disrespectful about that? In essence, he's showing Mike Richards the respect of saying, listen, you're the top guy on that team. I'm coming after you to get your mind off the game so that we can have a better chance of winning. That, to me, is a respect for Mike Richards instead of against Mike Richards.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590 on your cell. Grant and Tio, it's time to ask JR.
Hey, good morning, boys. JR, a longtime fan, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Listen, you guys were talking about the Kessel and trade earlier, and, you know, Tyler Seguin's playing on the fourth line in Boston, and he's actually scored 4 goals. I just think, JR, don't you think it's a bit early to start comparing?
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Tyler is not going to be a great hockey player, because he has a very good chance of being a great hockey player. I'm saying right now, Kessel is a better hockey player. Kessel will be a better hockey player for the next 2, 3, 4 years, I think, than Seguin will. That's my opinion, not anybody else's. And I'm a true believer that draft picks nowadays are much more of a gamble than they used to be back in the 80s and early 90s.
Why?
Because it is such a difficult league right now. It's so fast. It's so pressure-packed with the amount of money.
But still, you can't buy your way out of a problem. You can't write checks anymore. You can't bring...
To a certain extent, you can
with the cap system. It makes it tough to do.
But you got to get the right guys.
The Leafs have nobody to trade.
You got
to
get the right guys.
Well, they've got Caberle, but not enough to make a difference.
Brian Burke will get the job done. He's done it before. He did it in Vancouver. He'll do it again. He has his skeptics. I am a huge Brian Burke fan and will continue to be. This is on the players that are playing right now. They're in every game. They got to find to win the games that they're in. There's a lot of games that the Toronto Maple Leafs should have won in close situations.
They're 26th right now. I'm just saying, at a certain point, you have to take a look at the moves made and say, maybe we could have made other moves. And I think that Berkey's in a problem because he's got his the draft picks are gone. You have to draft and develop. We gave up too much for Kessel.
If my aunt had ball, she'd be my uncle. Woulda, shoulda, coulda.
But that's what we're looking at.
Got to win hockey games with the
guys.
Why
aren't we winning is the question.
Because the kids aren't finding a way to get it done.
They're not good enough. Let's go to Miles and St. Catharines.
I think they're really entertaining. I think they work really hard.
They're entertaining. So what we're looking at is noble losses. Well, how bad was the loss? Was it a noble loss?
It's actually a good point, noble losses.
Yeah, well, that's where we're at. Miles, ask JR.
The Leafs have the most expensive management. They buy to the full cap. They have a full junior team. They have a scouting staff. So anybody that says they don't spend enough money is crazy. They spend way more money than everybody else.
No, who says that? Who says that they don't spend money? But there's a cap system right now, right?
You name me a team since 2004 that won the Stanley Cup without their key players being drafted. Name one team.
You need to draft and develop players. You can't get Mike Richards by free agency.
Correct.
I mean, free agency, so...
But
they're not doing that.
Chicago?
The
Chicago
Maple
drafted.
Leafs haven't done it, and it was before Burke they didn't do it, and they're not doing it with Burke. Thank you for your call.
Does it come down to the scouting staff?
That's right. Scouting staff, not drafting and developing. That's why the Leafs suck. That's where we are. Jeremy, looking forward to having you back on Thursday. Let's go now to Mr. Blair. How are you, sir?
Very good. How are you guys?
Mr. Blair.
Draft and develop.
What's up, bro?
Huh? Draft and develop.
Draft and develop.
It's not happening. Hasn't happened.
No, but I'm with JR. I have no problem with the Kessel deal, and I've said that from the start. And, you know, just to expand on JR's point, I mean, Brian Burke was going to have to make that deal at some point, because you're not going to draft and develop a whole first line and have them all come up at the same time. Just ain't going to happen.
I agree.
Just ain't going to happen.
But what if you're not going to use the draft, right? How are you going to develop a team? Free agency?
You can still draft guys. But what you got to do is you got to make sure you're hitting your second and third round picks if you're going to do that.
Okay, look.
But we are, and we know that.
You guys will agree with me. What's happened with the Leafs since time began, since I've been a Leaf fan 100 years ago, is the team wants to cut corners. As opposed to taking the long way to success, they want to cut corners all the time. Cliff Fletcher, draft Schmaft. It's the same friggin' thing year in and year out with this team.
Yeah, but we know that. But I think you have to do both. This idea that somehow you build a team just by drafting is silly.
I think they've gone the other way because they've been so poor at it. Right?
They have not drafted well. And, you know, I mean, this goes back, this precedes Cliff Fletcher, too. I mean, the Leafs for the longest
time. You're right. Absolutely right.
You know, we're just
had silly. But that's why they stink, because they don't draft well.
And now they don't draft at all because they trade them.
Hey, Mike Komisarek can go for a first-round pick, eh?
Yeah, exactly. $6 million.
We're all the critics. We're all the we're all right, right? We're the professionals. I'm just going to leave it up to Brian Burke, and I'm going to watch and have my opinion.
What's on the show?
Lots of Pat Burns talk. Dave Andrechuk, Todd Gill, Ken Danico along to talk about him, along with Mark Osborne. So we're going to be asking callers for their Pat Burns memories, and we're going to get some Pat Burns memories from guys who played with him.
Great tribute to Pat Burns in Montreal.
It was tremendous. Montreal does that well.
What a fabulous coach for the Habs, for the Leafs, for the Devils.